You know the song, right? It goes like this. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. You may or may not know that it's become the brunt of quite a few jokes over the years. Written originally by conservative evangelical Christian singer and songwriter Mark Lowry, this song tends to garner, shall we say, some eye rolls from most feminist theologians and pastors these days. And usually around Christmas time, I'll see a few rewrites of this song pop up on my social media feeds. Here's a recent one from Megan Westra with just slight editing for our beautiful dressed-up kids in the room. Yes, Mary knew that her baby boy would one day rule the nations. Yes, Mary knew that her baby boy was Lord of all creation. Yes, she knew. Read Luke 1, you'll see. She sang about it then. If it helps, if when you're reading, you listen to the women. Perhaps that edit is a bit snarkier than you want on a warm and gentle night like Christmas Eve, but it does point to something, doesn't it? Was this Mary, Mother of God, simply an object of circumstances beyond her control or agency? Or did this Mary know, not just cognitively, but intuitively, what was going on, what was happening to her, what story she was being invited to partake in? Because even though no woman has been written about, sung about, or talked about as much as Mary, it feels like much of the writing and singing and talking that swirls around her kind of isn't about her. I mean, it's about her, but not like her. Do you know what I mean? Take the Immaculate Conception. That's an effort to make sense of how God could have really in any bodily way been connected to a human being. And let's get real, more particularly a female human being, right? So even all the tomes of writing and singing about how Mary was conceived and whether Mary was sinless and how Mary bore God still really ends up kind of being about Jesus. About Mary's relationship to Jesus, which is fine, but what about her? So this Advent, as we've journeyed with Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba, the women in Jesus' lineage, I've been wondering about Mary all these weeks. Not Mary as she relates to Jesus, but just Mary. For Mary's sake. A woman who, it turns out, if we just read Luke 1, like our song rewriter challenges us to, tells us more about God's reign on earth and God's liberating gospel in 30 seconds than entire books of the Bible do. I mean, when I read the Magnificat, thank you, Shoe, dressed as Mary, who read it for us tonight, when I really read the Magnificat, feel free to scroll back and look at it in your bulletin, I actually choose to treat Mary like a full-bodied, full-spirited person who offered these words back to the angel. It doesn't feel that hard to figure out that God definitely knew who God was choosing. That Mary wasn't some random or haphazard choice. But I think sometimes we tell the story that way. We treat Mary like like any other unknown woman in her town, in her region, in her country, we tell the story as if God chose this random nobody to do the unbelievable. And in one sense, I get why we tell the story that way. God does choose regular people to live out the gospel in the world. And that can be a powerful reminder to us that God can choose us to do the unbelievable too. But I think there's a danger of too quickly washing over Mary. Like Mary. Of treating her like any young woman in any small village in any part of the world. There's a danger in not seeing Mary. And maybe I should be clearer about what I'm pressing tonight, this Christmas Eve. I think sometimes where we see anonymity, God sees particularities. I think sometimes where God sees anonymity, or where we see anonymity, God sees particularities. Where we see just another young woman in another small town, God sees Mary. God sees Mary. God sees a particular woman with a particular imagination, a particular tenacity, a particular theological depth, a particular inner power and resilience. God doesn't just see any poor, brown, ancient, Middle Eastern woman about to become another man's property. God sees Mary. A woman who, whether a teenager or young woman or somewhere in between, we don't really know, was already taking in a complex world and responding back to it with words both ancient and contemporary. So today, this Christmas Eve, as we go to the manger once again, and we imagine, as we do every year, Mary's wonder and shock, her fear and vulnerability, her uncertainty about all she was treasuring in her heart, here's another invitation too. This evening, as you hear the story told and imagine Mary making this journey and birthing this baby and receiving these shepherds and sitting under this star, this time, imagine her as a profoundly gifted theologian of life. One that God has been observing for quite some time. Imagine Mary as one who, even amidst the daily grinding labor she was sure to have been responsible for, cooking and cleaning and water fetching and surviving, imagine her as someone who still lay in her bed at night and asked life-altering questions. Questions like, why does my family work so hard day in and day out and still barely make enough to survive? Why are we being taxed more than we can pay while Pilate and Herod live in palaces dripping with gold and blood? When will God be on our side like God was on the Israelites enslaved in Egypt? And once you've done that, once you've turned your imagination long enough to see Mary as a resident theologian in Nazareth, perhaps your heart just might find itself open to the theologians all around you. Migrant parents who need not be patronized for their choice to flee violence and seek a chance at peace for their families. People who have long thought hard about the choice they are making and who, as they walk thousands of miles across deserts and plains, might just have profound theological truths to offer our world. black and brown Americans who know this country's story, its real story, better than anyone, and can dream and hope and imagine for this country's future more deeply as a result. People who have endured the long winter of grinding poverty, and while they may never be given a formal degree for the lessons they've learned, might well tell us more about how to prioritize, how to thrive, and how to sustain ourselves amidst unyielding adversity than anyone can. If we see Mary like God saw Mary, then we might just see the whole wide world like God does too. I wonder if we imagine Mary more like Nelson Mandela when he was young, or Audre Lorde, or Rigoberta Menchú, or Cesar Chavez, or Martin King. Freedom fighter, a big dreamer, profound theologian who had heard the words of the prophets in her local synagogue about the poor being lifted up, about the mighty falling from their thrones, who was paying close attention to who Caesar was and who Herod was, someone who understood what was happening around her and who dared to believe that God knew that she knew too. That God knew that she was ready to take part in the biggest revolution the world had ever seen. Motherhood, a baby, a Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Mary definitely knew. And God knew she knew. And God might just know that we know too. So don't be surprised if an angel shows up at your doorstep asking you if you're ready to turn the world upside down too.